So we're here with limited legend Rob Anderson, who was recently on the Crazy Talk, and we're going to be talking about, like I said on the other previous show, is sort of our pre-talk or our secret tech talk before GP Providence, and it'll be released a week after. And so Alex had sent me various Squadron Hawk legacy decks before, and then Rob just found... was inspired by an SCG Charlotte list and came up with something similar, right, Alex? And then I took that and said, why don't we just see what we can do with the land still base? So I'm...
Was that it, Rob? I thought actually that you were inspired by the list I'd sent you, that you basically took that and you cut the Hawks and you put counter spells in.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was sort of a combination of a lot of things. I mean, I sort of figured what are the cards that I want to be playing in Legacy. And I concluded that Mystic and Grim Lavamancer were two of those cards, and I want to play a lot of counter spells to have a good combo matchup, and Swords was my favorite removal. And I just like that sort of package better than the Team America package. And
you always compare a lot of different people's packages?
Yeah.
Freaking, this is Alex Unplugged. So we... Well, I decided to do the landstill base, and obviously the main cut that I had to make was Grim Lavamancers, and Alex went on and said that he felt your list gave him some color problems. I think Alex can elaborate quickly on that.
Well, like I found with the three colors, like you not only is the deck three colors, but like normally say you're playing Bob, right, and like is your black splash or whatever, you can find your black duel and then cast your Bob, and then that's it, right? Then you don't care if they wasteland your land because you stuck a Bob. Whereas with a deck, like, you play a Grim Lavamancer and they kill your red source. Like, the deck didn't have that many red sources, so you're kind of screwed. And there are some weird sounds there. It sounded like Rob was going, shh, shh.
Yeah, hold on a second. It's my other phone is ringing.
Oh, no one. It's not someone like breathing out after giving you a blowjob.
Man.
But anyways.
I played my red, white, blue deck at Thursday night. I only played three rounds. Tuesday night, rather. I only played three rounds, but I won them all, and I was very comfortable with the deck. But I had to go home to my girlfriend, so I left the deck with Alex to test a bit more. And he noticed some mana inconsistency issues, which I can definitely agree with. They didn't happen to me, but I could definitely see that they could happen. So yeah, this idea of taking Team America, like a list like AJ Sacker's list, and cutting the green entirely, so losing Goyf and Deed and some sideboard cards, and playing Stoneforge Mystic, with Stoneforge Mystic having instead of playing Deed, having a package of equipment, whether it be definitely Batterskull and Sword of Fire Ice, and maybe others available either in the main or in the side, but this idea seems pretty sweet and something that I can get behind.
Yeah, like originally, right, you were trying Batterskull, KYT, you had Batterskull on the side of a deck you were playing, right? And then, you know, Rob and I told you, like, have to play it main, and you instantly fell in love, right?
Well, just playing against you and Rob, seeing firsthand how it was, like, the... Like, I had you dead on the board with Merfolk, and it was the only card that was going to save you. Even GTA wasn't going to save you. So I was impressed there, and then Rob beat me where, like, I just couldn't deal with it. And then game two, you know, he was either land screwed or whatever, but I still killed him with my Batterskull, and it was going to be hard for him to deal with it anyways. So that's why I loved it so much. But so now we're stuck on, me and you are, I guess, playing with whether we're going with this version or the Esper version, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think you gain a lot from having the third color, like, because with just blue-white, you get definitely, like, more mana consistency, and you get to play, like, a manland, right? Like, you're playing Mutavault with Spellstutter Sprite.
Right.
But, I mean, you're... You just change, you lose Mutavault, but you like change Spellstutter Sprites into Dark Confident, and you change like Spell Snare into him to Turak, and like the deck just seems, you know, you just get so much power there. Like, you know, you experience, right, how nuts him to Turak is?
Yeah, yeah, him is nuts.
And like, it's just really, as, you know, as our guest on Crazy Talk, today said, Adam Barnello, you know, him is really well positioned right now. And, I don't know, and like, I'm a huge Dark Confident fan.
I think in this list we'd have to be careful what lands we fetch, right, like with Double Black and Stoneforge.
Right, but I mean, it would be no different from like Team America really at the moment, other than the fact that like you need a white to use Stoneforge's ability. But like that's not that big a deal if you're playing against like a deck where you think you're going to be disrupted in that way. You can find like a Jit or a sort of Fire and Ice or something. You don't have to find Batterskull.
What about basics? Are we going to have room?
I think you don't play basics just like Team America, like, because I think. Like, I think that's actually one of the problems with the blue-white-red version. Like, I think actually the mana on that version would probably be better if we were not playing any basics, because then you just get non-basics entirely, and you wouldn't ever have, like, a situation where you have a Tundra and a Mountain and then just wasteland your Tundra, and you have no blue and no white. Whereas if you had, like, Volcanic and Tundra, then, you know, at least you wasteland one of your things, at least you have, like, two of your colors rather than just one.
Yeah.
Like, the only time basics are really good is when it's, like, the first land you have, or when you're, like, not hitting any more lands at all, and you just need those lands to stay around forever. Yeah. But when you're, like, have multiple lands, and you want to have all your colors, it's better to have all non-basics than, like, one basic, two non-basics, or whatever.
Yeah, but what do you think about people? People are going to be packing back to basics.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you have counter magic and hand disruption, and
you think the Inquisitions and the Thought Seizes are still well positioned?
Yeah, I think they're pretty well positioned. Like, I don't think there's really going to be that many like people playing mono blue control.
Yeah.
Like, and that's really the only deck that can play back to basics, right?
Yeah, effectively.
Like, I mean, otherwise, if people are playing them in, like, back to basics in their three-color deck, they really need to go back to the basics of, like, deck building.
Yeah. Nice LSV work.
Oh. Man, I hope they meet LSV at Providence. I'm going to have a big deck box full of Gruesome Encores from Design.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to bring all my Gruesome Encore collection.
Man, like,
LSV, could you sign this one card for me? And I'm going to ask him to sign it. And I'm going to be like, LSV, could you actually sign this other card, second card for me? I'm going to ask him to sign it. I'm going to do that like 10 times.
And then he's going to see it coming.
No, keep doing it until he refuses.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I don't know if he ever will. It'll be funny. It'll be, you know, each time will be a Gruesome Encore of the previous one.
I have two foil ones sitting on my dresser.
I have one foil one. You need to bring me the foil ones.
Yeah, I'll give you some foil ones.
Sweet. I'm going to see how many I can get him to sign before he stops. Should be pretty funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still think, the theory behind this Esper deck seems pretty solid, but I would need to test it to see if it's the kind of thing I want.
Yeah, okay, I definitely want to test that deck more too. Like, I think you know, you can bring in more removal. Like, I found with the deck when Merfolk 1 basically was beating you, like, you normally had, you know, if you had Batterskull, you were in pretty good you were basically auto won unless they had Lord of Atlantis. That was the only card that like ever mattered. That's enough.
Yeah.
And so basically I think that you want to save like all your removal spells for the Lord of Atlantis. In that matchup, like,
yeah,
unless you're gonna die from something else, you just don't pop that swords button. You just go like, take it. Fine, I'm at two life. Hey, now there's a Batterskull, and they're like, hey, look, Lord of Atlantis, and you're like, finally, you fucker, die, motherfucker, die. You know, and then you just block one of their guys with your Batterskull.
Yeah. So, what do you feel about Force right now?
Yeah, I've not been sure that it's like a main deck card. I mean, had a discussion on Crazy Talk about that, and Adam Bernellos feels that like having a main deck against the decks where it's not very good, you lose less value than not having a main deck against like the decks where it is good, because basically feels you grind out wins in three games against the control and aggro decks, whereas against combo there's going to be sometimes where they're just like not draw you, and you want to have Force of Wills in your deck all three games to minimize the matches you lose that way.
Yeah. But the possibility of moving them to the board is definitely really interesting.
Like, the thing is, I think people are going to play around them anyways. Like, nobody expects you to be playing, like, a Brainstorm, you know, like, misstep deck without Force of Wills. Like, they're not going to see that, right? They're just going to be... And then, you know, sometimes maybe they'll go for it or whatever, but certainly not, like, you know, an experienced Storm pilot's probably going to wait till they can thought seize you first anyways. And then you misstep that or whatever, and hopefully you'll have gotten like some sort of disruption set up. I mean, you still have like, if you're playing the Esper version, right, you'd have him and Thoughtseize and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's definitely possible you don't need it. Like, certainly when you're getting to three color decks, like Team America and the Esper deck we're thinking of, like, the number of blue cards you have to remove to it is, like, often fairly low.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, like, you often have just, like, a Force of Will and, like, two other cards in your hand, but you can't actually play the Force of Will.
Yeah.
And obviously revealing it off Dark Confident is a bitch.
Yeah. How about the thought of Squadron Hawks and Chrome Moxes and such?
I just don't see, like, why, though? I mean, you already have two mana, you could play Squadron Hawk. Why are you playing Squadron Hawk instead of something better? Like, you're playing Squadron Hawk, and then you're playing a Chrome Mox, and you're imprinting one of your Squadron Hawks. Like, why aren't you just playing two real cards? Like, what if that Squadron Hawk was a Dark Confident, and your Chrome Mox is, like, hell, even just a land? Like, does it really hurt you that you have to wait, like, one more turn to get that much mana? Like, what are you really accelerating out? You're accelerating out of Squadron Hawk, number two?
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, turn three, play a Squadron Hawk, find three Squadron Hawks, play a Chrome Hawks, imprint a Squadron Hawk, play another Squadron Hawk. Beat down.
Sounds like a winning strategy.
Yeah. This goes out to you, John Smithers. KYT types, do you have time to build Esper on cock really quick? Now, KYT, you're more of an expert on cock than us. So.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I play with cock all the time, actually, to goldfish my decks.
He's the king of goldfishing.
You like just jerking off? Just
yeah, like, I don't like it when other people are involved. It makes it uncomfortable. My deck goes soft.
I see what you did there. Oh man, KYT's not very talkative because his mom got him in an uncomfortable mood.
Yeah, it's typical. Asian parent stuff.
So you're saying you're like a stereotypical Asian guy? You're like 30, you live with your mom, and your mom gets angry at you because, you know, I'm staying at home and eating her food?
And I'm good at math.
Man, just a side note, I friggin' helped Eugene Ho move today. It was kind of annoying.
Wow, that's kind of funny. Yeah, like, Eugene Ho, the guy that KYT and I are starting to like this guy, by the way, the inside joke on that is that it means that we used to hate him. Yeah, like, he's moving to, like, Westmount, which is the location that Rob and I live around. Please don't come and stalk and kill us, particularly me. Rob, it's okay. Rob will give his life for the community. Right? Anyways, so Eugene Ho's moving into the rough area, so looks like he might be part of Team Westmount if we allow him past our initiation ceremonies. We used to have a previous Taiwanese guy, but he's now making big bucks playing poker in Vegas. Shout out to Yi Cheng. Yeah, anyways, we'll see. Eugene Ho's like two, three blocks from where I live, and like Rob's on the other direction, like two, three blocks from where I live. So it's going to be like magic party time. KYT, you're invited. If your mom lets you, like, come to the other side of town,
you can go to our house.
You guys going to come to the store tomorrow or anything, or what?
I think I will. What about you, Captain?
Yeah, I definitely have to, so to do some last-minute testing.
Plus you have some of my cards. Yes, I have some cards.
Medina, yes, I do.
Medina, I have some Onslaught fetch lands now. That's right. No, well, before you're like, man, Alex actually listened to me. I feel like I'm respected. It's like, no, actually, I just won them in a tournament.
Ouch. Okay, so with that, we'll see how our testing goes tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bye.